Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. Respects to Longpo Anan, Longpo Somchai, and all the Sangha of Wat Map Jan, and much gratitude to Ajahn Anon for translating my talk to Thai. It's a surprise for me. I didn't know that I'm going to give a talk until yesterday evening. As you've heard, you know, the introduction earlier, I'm a temporary monk here for 4 months. So when they were mentioning to me that I'm going to give a talk on in the afternoon, I thought they were all joking. And it only dawned on me that it was for real when Ajahn Stewart came to me in the evening and told me that I'm going to give a talk. And he suggested that I should share about my experience here as a monk for the past 4 months. And I was just reflecting on that for the past week. And as I was reflecting on my experience here for the past 4 months, I feel that my practice has come together. Please don't take this as a proclamation of attainment. It's just a general, mundane expression of my practice coming together. And to understand this, I have to share about the journey that I've taken as a practitioner, which started more than 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, my friend and I from Singapore, we went to stay in Lumpur PX Monastery in Lam Luka, Bangkok. And we were supposed to stay there for 7 days. And for the first 3 days, I was taken aback by the intensity of the practice. Lay aunties and uncles in their 50s and 60s would sit all night. They wouldn't sleep. And by the third day, I turned to my friend, Wei Ming, from Singapore, and I asked him that, that we should go chat to chat for shopping on the fifth day. And I vowed never to visit a forest monastery again. So since then, for 7 years, I was actively engaged in, you know, Buddhist discussions and suttas discussion, giving talks in Singapore, as well as I was even, you know, sharing in funeral sessions. But the interesting thing was around 13 years ago, a pain in my heart started manifesting, and it lasted for 1 year. I had no idea where that pain came from. There was no traumatic accidents or experience in my life. It just manifested out of nowhere. And with that pain, I lost all interest in life. You know, I would go to work and lock myself in the toilet. I would, you know, lie on bed and not do anything for days. And that's when I realized that, you know, all the sutta discussions, all the readings, and all the, you know, the talks and conventions that I attend could not relieve the pain in my heart. And And that was when Longpo Anan appeared. I didn't tell him about the pain in my heart. But I think he somehow saw that I was going through something and then and asked me to come and stay with him for a long time. And that's how my journey in Mapjan began 13 years ago. So when I first came here, I had very little faith in Longpo. I remember there was one time he just came back from India and he was having this cough. And he came down in the evening and then at the kitchen to take some medicine. And I was sitting there reading a book on a stone chair with my legs up and resting on the other chair. And I saw Longpo sitting 50 meters away from me. Because I had so little faith, instead of going to him and putting my hands in Anjali, I just nodded at him, like, oh, you know, good to see you. And that's how little faith I had in Longpo back then. Despite the lack of faith, the pain in my heart kept me going with the practice, and I kept coming here. The first two times I came here, I got nothing but pain. And I remember the third trip that I was here, I came here for 2 weeks. And I was practicing for 1 week, you know, sitting and meditating. And after 1 week of practice, in the afternoon at around 3 p.m. during chow time, I was feeling so miserable. Back in the day, the Patimokkha was at around 2 p.m. So at 3 p.m., when it's time for chow times, I went out to the gate and was sweeping leaves. And there were no monks. I was all alone sweeping leaves. And I was in my mind, I was cursing and, you know, having a lot of negative thoughts, like, oh, you know, where are the monks, you know? And I was thinking to myself, oh, this is a forest monastery. Why do they make us sweep leaves? They're meant to be leaves. You know, why do I pay $300? I fly all the way here to sweep leaves. You know, all these thoughts were going through my mind. But the amazing thing was, you know, as Longpo Cha said, you know, the practice is like, you know, planting a tree. You know, you just put the conditions, and then when the time is right, it ripens and then it blossoms. And as I was sweeping, and had all these thoughts in my mind, a leaf dropped from one of the trees. And as I was looking at the leaf dropping and falling down from the tree, I had an epiphany. And the pain from my heart disappeared. For more than 1 year, it disappeared. And then I had, because the pain was so intense, when it disappeared, I had tears rolling down from my eyes. And that was my first taste of Dhamma, the power of Dhamma. And that was when I started to have confidence in the practice. After having had that experience, I started coming to Mapjan more regularly. From once a year to twice a year to every quarter. And I would set goals. You know, in the past I couldn't wake up for morning chanting, and each time I come I would set goals like, oh, you know, this time around I want to make sure that I attend all morning chantings. And when I get back home, I would inspire, after, you know, witnessing how the monks practice, you know, I would make goals at home as well. You know, I would make an aditan, you know, to just sleep on the floor for the entire pansa. Gradually, you know, I'll start taking 8 precepts every week. And after a few years, I changed my bedroom into a shrine room. And that's when I realized that after much practice, I needed to spend more time to intensify the practice, and that's why I decided to ordain the very first time 8 years ago. So during my first ordination here 9 years ago, I got to witness and observe Long Po Anan up close and personal in all kinds of situations. And I realized that he was unflappable in all kinds of situations, you know, be it, you know, when he's with a crowd, when he's with an individual, when he's being shouted at, when, you know, there's a lot of commotion going on. He's always so equanimous. And that gave me a lot of confidence. And more importantly, during my time as a monk, he took care of me like his own son. And that really touched me because I had nothing. I don't come from a rich family. My dad is a taxi driver, and then, you know, I'm just a normal guy. But the way he looked and took care of me really touched me, and that's when my faith and in Long Po Anan grew. Time to tell my stories, but I'll cut to the chase. So after my first ordination, I had a lot of faith and confidence in the practice, and when I got back to Singapore, I decided to intensify my practice. I upped my Vasa goals from taking 8 precepts once a week to the entire 3 months. I would sit Nesachik for every one pra for 3 months as well. And and I would spend a lot of time with Kruba Ajans as well. And I remember one time I was back in the day, I think many years back, Long Po Tong from Wat Asokram, the late Long Po Tong from Wat Asokram came to Singapore, and he was nursing cancer. I think he had cancer, and they were having 3 hours meditation every day. And you know, I would sit in, and I see Long Po Tong with cancer. I think he's more than 70, 80 years old, and he would sit there. And he wouldn't move for 3 hours. And I was like 20 over years old, and I was like shifting around, and then I was like, you know, having a lot of pain. And when the time was up, he had the brightest smile, you know, you could find on someone. And it's amazing, given that he's cancer-stricken and 80 years old. And that gave me a lot of confidence as well. And because of that, you know, we also started having, you know, weekly 3 hours meditation in Singapore, where we would sit 3 hours without changing posture. And then the intention is to up it to 4 hours. And because of the practice that I've done through the years, I've decided to ordain for the second time this time. One of the main reasons was because Long Po is getting old, and while I wanted to ordain while he's still strong, and that's why I came and ordained for 4 months. And during this time, as I've mentioned earlier in the talk at the beginning, that I realized that my practice has come together, because in the past it felt like it was hit and miss. You know, whatever I was doing, I was, you know, doing all the the austere practices, but I realized that the results were all hit and miss, you know, like sometimes were good, sometimes not so good. But after all these years of practice that I had as a layperson, you know, with a group of friends, and ordaining here the first time, and coming back here again, I realized that my practice has gotten more and more consistent. And right now, I could press the right buttons and know the kind of results that I will get. And that's heartening to know. This brings me, and this reminds me of a sutta that the Buddha gave, which is the Chanki Sutta, is Majjhima Nikaya number 95. So the Buddha talked about the way to awakening the truth. And he says, how does one awakens to the truth? He says one should first observe a person or a teacher to see that the teacher in his speech, his actions and thoughts are free from greed, hatred and delusion. After you've observed, conviction arises in you, and once you have the conviction, you visit the teacher more often, you get close to him. After getting close to the teacher, you lend your ear to the teacher, you listen to the Dhamma. After listening to the Dhamma, you remember the Dhamma. You ponder the Dhamma. You understand the Dhamma. And then you agree on the Dhamma on an intellectual level. And having done that, desire arises in you. There's a desire and willingness to put it into practice. And after practicing, one then contemplates. And after contemplating, one exerts himself. And it's through this exertion, one penetrates and awakens to the truth. And the Buddha says, If one keeps repeating this cycle, one will eventually realize to the final truth. And as I reflect back on my journey, I realize that it's like what the Buddha have just said in this sutta. So if there's any takeaways from this talk, I guess what I would like to share is do not underestimate the practice that one does as a layperson. Stay close to the Kruba Ajahns and have a group of good Kalamitas to support each other along the way. And soon enough, we'll progress and reach the destination together. Seek my forgiveness if I've said anything that is incorrect or inappropriate. And I think that's all I have to share for today.